and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our first reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, reading verses 11 and 12 and 43 through 45. These are very familiar words. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. The word of the Lord.
You're about to see why the Old Testament lesson is being read second this morning. Our Old Testament reading comes from Genesis chapter 39. Now Joseph was taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. He made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and with him there he had no concern for anything but the food that he ate. Now Joseph was handsome and good-looking, and after a time his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, with me here, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my hand. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not consent to lie beside her or to be with her. One day, however, when he went into the house to do his work, and while no one else was in the house, she caught hold of his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called out to the members of her household and said to them, "See, my husband has brought among us a Hebrew to insult us. He came in with me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And when he heard me raise my voice and cry out, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." Then she kept his garment by her until his master came home, and she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought among us came in to me to insult me. But as soon as I raised my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." When his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, saying, "This is the way your servant treated me," he became enraged. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. He remained there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. He gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's care all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The chief jailer paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. This is the word of God for the people of God. Last week on Game of Sandals, we spoke about the call of Abraham and Sarah. They left their home and their families and went to the place that God showed them. God promised Abraham and Sarah three things: descendants, land, and a blessing. To people in that time, that was everything they could want. Who could ask God for anything more? We're skipping over a lot of story here, but they did have a son, as God promised. His name was Isaac, and he too had a son, whose name was Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Abraham and Sarah's descendants don't have a land yet, but they certainly have had the blessing, and now they have descendants. 2 out of 3 promises kept so far. Jacob had 12 sons, and Joseph was the favorite. I don't mean that Jacob tried hard to be fair, but he had one son that he loved best, despite his best efforts. I mean that Jacob was incredibly blatant about it. When Joseph was a teenager, Jacob had a special coat made for him that had every color in the rainbow and long sleeves, sleeves that nearly covered his hands. This coat showed that he was not a laborer like his brothers. He was management. This was the coat of many colors, also known as Joseph's amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Joseph started having dreams and interpreting them for his brothers, who were capable men, many of them significantly older and more established than he was. Dreams that, as he told them, meant that they would bow down to him, nearly the youngest of the 12, and that he would rule them. This was perhaps the one thing that could make these dysfunctional family dynamics worse than they already were. The 11 decided that the dreamer had to go. They hit him over the head, took his coat and ripped it, and sold him as a slave to some Ishmaelites, nomadic distant relatives. These Ishmaelites took him to Egypt. Egypt was not a place Joseph was keen to go, and not just because he didn't speak Egyptian very well. Egypt, as a culture, was fascinated by death. Most of us, if we think about Egypt, we think of huge monuments. All these monuments were to death and to dead people. The pyramids are amazing structures, wonders of the ancient world. They're tombs. All the famous murals in the pyramids depict the underworld, their understanding of life after death. So Joseph has been sold as a slave into a land obsessed with death. He's sold off to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh. Potiphar sees that Joseph is literate, not exactly a universal thing in those days, so he installs him as an overseer in his house. Over time, Joseph impresses his master, and he puts him in charge of the whole household. Joseph succeeds in this position, running everything very well. Our story this morning is not one that we usually teach our kids. I rewatched the VeggieTales version of Joseph's life this week, and they changed this part. There are good reasons for that. It would have at least a PG-13 rating. This story already had dysfunctional family dynamics. Now we add human trafficking, sexual harassment, and attempted sexual coercion and extortion. The innocent victim ends up in jail. This sounds more like grown-up cable TV fare, maybe House of Cards or Game of Thrones, than it does like a little kid's story. But there's nothing here that doesn't happen today. Every day. Human trafficking, people sold into slavery, happens all over the world, including here in the United States. Since it's illegal in most places, it's almost always now under the radar and for the purposes of prostitution. The Ohio Attorney General's office estimates that a little over 1,000 children are victims of human trafficking every year here in Ohio. The Presbyterian Church is involved with the Central Ohio Rescue and Restore Coalition, an organization that works to help find these people and restore them to normal life. The coalition also works to advocate for punishment for traffickers, the modern word for slavers, and for treating the victims as victims, not as criminals themselves. What Potiphar's wife does to Joseph is not acceptable, and it would not be no matter who the people involved were. We're comfortable saying that, but we're much more used to stories where the genders are reversed, aren't we? Where it's the man demanding sex or else. Our discomfort here is natural. The point is that sexual harassment, coercion, and rape aren't really about sex. They're about power and lack of accountability. Potiphar's wife has both. Joseph doesn't. It's always been more usual in our society for men to have that kind of power over women and that lack of accountability than the reverse. The various men who've recently been accused or convicted of truly vile behavior toward women had power. Their victims, women who worked for them or wanted to work for them, didn't. And they believed that they would never be held accountable for their actions. It is wrong, but unfortunately not entirely surprising that they used that lack of power and lack of accountability in disgusting, sleazy, evil ways. Shameful behavior, sexual and non-sexual, by people who have power over other people, is not a new thing. What's new is some of those powerful people being held accountable, as they should be. Joseph has more integrity than anyone else in this entire story. And he's the one who ends up in jail. He's the first person named in the Bible to be imprisoned unjustly, but far from the last. Jesus, Jeremiah, Daniel, John the Baptist, Peter, Paul, just a few other examples. And I can just imagine what people would say to Joseph. Oh, that'll be all right. God doesn't send you more than you can handle. If I could remove one empty platitude from the entire language and from the minds of every single human being on earth, this would be the one. It's contrary to Jesus' own words that Carolyn read this morning. It's theologically untrue. It's contrary to how we experience life. It releases from responsibility people who hurt other people, and it reveals a terrible misunderstanding of how the world works. God did not send evil into Joseph's life. There certainly was evil there. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery and told their father that he had been killed. Potiphar's wife abused her position and the lack of accountability that she had to demand sexual favors and to get Joseph thrown into prison for refusing. Each time, Joseph was blessed with God's presence, and he rose above those problems. But that doesn't mean that God created those problems. Joseph's brothers were responsible for their actions. God did not force them to violate God's laws and the laws of humanity by selling their own brother into slavery so that God could achieve God's goals through Joseph. Potiphar's wife was responsible for her actions. God did not force her to proposition Joseph, and God did not force her to lie and get him thrown into prison when rejected. God does not send evil into our lives. God sends good into our lives. Many bad things just happen. God does not send storms, for example, to punish cities. Storms happen to bad people and good people, usually at the same time. God does not send cancer, for example, to punish bad people. Cancer happens to bad people, and cancer happens to good people. Some bad things are due to human action. We human beings have free will, and we are all too good at sending evil into the lives of other people. When we do that, we are responsible for our actions, and so are they. No, instead, listen to what is nearly the last thing Joseph says in the entire story of Joseph in the Bible. He tells his brothers, the people who sold him into slavery, that you planned something evil for me, but God produced something good from it. God works with the situations we human beings find ourselves in, whether they are our own fault or someone else's fault or no one's fault. God saw the situation Joseph was in, and God worked with it. God saw Joseph sold into slavery. God used that evil that his brothers had done for good. God helped Joseph be in the right place at the right time to save his entire family from the famine that was coming in the land of Canaan where they lived. God used the evil things that had been done by some of God's people to another. God used those things to keep God's promise to all of God's people. God promised Abraham and Sarah, remember, descendants, land, and a blessing. God's blessing continued through Joseph, who preserved those descendants and moved them one step closer to getting the land that God promised. God does not put evil and hardship into our lives. They happen. Don't get me wrong. They are real and they happen. Some of them happen naturally and some by human action. But God does not do that to you. God walks with us. God loves us. And God helps us work with the situations we're in. Thanks be to God. Amen.